Greetings and welcome to another episode of the Wandering One podcast, brought to you by Wandering One Studios and your host, that's me, Link Flores. It's been the last 2 weeks have been something else, everybody. So buckle up, because this is going to be probably not a super long podcast, but definitely an interesting one. Get a little housekeeping out of the way. First of all, thank you all for your support, for whatever you do, however you do it. If you're just hearing me for the first time, and you like what you hear, please feel free to stop over at my Patreon. That's patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. And links are in the description. And feel free to pop on over, follow for free, and you get an extra bonus episode. And if you decide you want to support, I use your questions that you write into that Patreon to create bonus episodes. The reason there haven't been many bonus episodes, there haven't been many questions. And I've decided I'm going to start concocting some of my own, just making them up as I go. But I'd really rather hear your input, your comments, your suggestions, your stories, whatever you got for me. Just drop it over at patreon.com/wanderingonestudios. Again, free to sign up and follow. Get a bonus episode of content driven by you as opposed to whatever I'm just thinking about. And you can always catch me over on Twitch at twitch.tv/linkib doing video gameplay, artwork, and more. Most recently been playing back and forth between Baldur's Gate 3, Destiny 2, and I'm going to be stopping back over to visit a new to me game and a remastered and remade sort of version of Paper Mario, The Thousand Year Door, which is a classic Nintendo RPG starring the Mario characters in a completely interesting and new setting that you probably never seen them in before. So feel free to stop on over there. Again, all the links will be in the channel notes. In the show notes. So please feel free to stop in there, as well as check out some of the other things that I'll be putting in the show notes for this episode. Let's get into it. So last week was a little bananas. Going through the weekend and into the week, I knew that my neighborhood was going to have an HOA turnover meeting. For those of you who've never been, had the pleasure of dealing with the Homeowners Association, sucks initially, because it's usually run by a group of people who don't live in your neighborhood and they don't care about what you and the rest of your new neighbors are going to be primarily concerned with. So there's a lot of mostly corporate kind of concerns are just trying to mitigate whatever costs they can to the developer or whomever else has their fingers in your development. And they don't really care about you as an individual, and they don't care about the community as a whole because they don't have to, because they don't live there. Once they get done doing their job, they're out and that's it. Then it's up to you as the homeowners together to come together and try to make things work. While I'm no stranger to homeowners associations in general, I never actively had the opportunity to participate in one. Anytime I've had interactions with the homeowners association, it's been primarily as a renter. So I was either renting a home from some owner who is like just using it as basically an investment property, or from a rental agency that was using it as an investment property, which is what most of the homes are going for in Northeast Florida nowadays. So my interactions with them were incredibly limited. And by limited, I mean they were usually limited to somebody sending me a fine for something really stupid that was part of the HOA's charter that as a renter I would have no idea about and would usually not be in the rental agreement. So now, being a first-time homeowner, I felt like it was a good idea to at least go and attend these meetings to know what's happening in the neighborhood and, you know, to some degree become involved and invested in it because, you know, I've got a stake in this place, right? And as time progressed, as we were coming closer and closer to this turnover meeting, in several discussions around the neighborhood, it just kind of became impressed upon me that, like, if I didn't do this, if I didn't make an effort to try to be a part of the board, there might be some repercussions to that, because if nobody volunteers to do a certain job, right, basically whoever steps up to do it is all that's left. And that doesn't necessarily mean that they're not qualified, but they may not be, again, they may not have your best interests at heart, Or they may be only looking to push a certain agenda or have an axe to grind with another neighbor or a group of neighbors. And you don't want that kind of dissension on a board that's going to basically be deciding what you're able to do in and around your property. So we went to this changeover meeting. And I got to be honest, initially I was trying to find any excuse not to do it. Only because I was really kind of hoping I could more observe and see how it went. But as we walked in, we found out that the current, or at least at the time, the current HOA board had opted to send us all a client interest form. But instead of letting us vote on the first meeting, what they had done is the people who had sent in forms, they automatically assigned them positions. Problem with that. In their actual release, they said that this was going to be a meeting in which we as the community would elect our chosen representatives. And by that, that means that the very letter of the law, you've already broken your promise as part of the HOA. So we're not doing that. We're going to put everything up for a vote. And after a little bit of discussion and some checking of the rules, they found out that they had got themselves hung by their own petard and they had to start opening up to a vote. So myself and a couple other candidates went up there. Long story short, it was a runoff at the end. I was going to drop out, but then they went to a hand raise vote and I ended up getting elected to the board. I don't have any real regrets about that, honestly. As much as I was going to try to be like, I don't really know if this is for me. Looking back on it, it might actually end up being a very valuable experience. You know what I mean? I can learn more about not only my neighbors and my community, but I can learn more about how an HOA should and or should not operate. And even if I decide that I don't want to pursue the position past the first year, there's plenty of opportunity for me to learn in the interim and to figure out how things work and hopefully to be of more good than harm is probably the best way I could put it. So yeah, that happened over the last week and it was kind of like a whirlwind of events and just, I don't know what the hell's been going on with me lately. But I've just been really, really tired throughout the day. And then I'll go to sleep or take a nap during the day. And then I won't wake up till like 6 or 7. If I take a nap at 3 o'clock, it's a wrap on the evening. I'm up after that from 7 o'clock at night until like 4 or 5 in the morning. And it's ruining me because there's only so much that you can do between the hours of 7 p.m. and 7 p.m. to 7 a.m., you know, in those midnight, those late night, midnight, early morning hours, there's only so much you can accomplish. If you're sleeping the rest of the day, you kind of miss out on the rest of your life because the world happens to be awake while you're knocked out. It was the one thing I always hated about working the graveyard shift. Everything that needed to happen for my life, I ended up having to do on my days off when all I really wanted to do was just have fun. But I'm like, nah. You know, if you have a day off and it's like Tuesday, Wednesday, well, those are your days when you do all the running of the bills and the groceries and the laundry and the cleaning. So, you know, doing it now, you know what I mean? And just being in my own home and doing like all the housework and cooking and running errands and, you know, chasing down this vendor for that thing, finding out where this needs to go to get returned for this thing, handling my own business stuff that I want to take care of. There's just not enough time in the day for me to be tired in the middle of the day. So I'm just trying to figure out my way through that. And with the HOA stuff popping up and, you know, family stuff and Father's Day stuff and trying to be a social human being, I get out and exercise a little bit more. Finally got to ride my bike the other day. Did some calisthenics in the house. I'm starting to feel like some of the burn, but also some of the good. I'm still tired though. I'm hoping that what'll happen is as I start to continue to push more of the physical activity and maybe some more of this mental activity too with this HOA thing and some of the other projects I'm trying to plan out. As I push more towards that, I'm hoping that that will give me a little bit more of a drain so I can effectively sleep through the night and through whatever, you know, whether it's train or thunder or whatever, I can just sleep. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, I've been trying to combat that, you know. One of the things I've been trying to focus on is eating earlier. I was doing this thing for a while. It was really stupid. I would just eat whenever I got done streaming or just got run down and got a chance to sit. And that would usually end up being like 9, 10, even later at night. And that's horrible for your body, but it's worse for someone with digestive issues because then your stomach's trying to work through all that stuff while you're sleeping. And then, you know, you got to wake up and go to the bathroom and it's just a wreck. So I've been trying to make sure that I eat earlier in the day, trying to make sure I focus on getting some dinner between like 5:30 and 7:30 at the latest, somewhere in that range. So by the time it's time for me to lie down, come 11, 10, maybe midnight, I'm actually able to sleep and not have my stomach rumbling all over the place, which I think is going to start bearing some dividends. It's been helping a little bit. And like I said, I don't know how I got into the habit of just eating super late. I never really used to do that. And then it would go in swings. You know what I mean? Like you get good habits going for a little while and then you hit a little patch where you're like, I can kind of get a little loose with it. And then you slide into some bad habits and you're like, I got to break those. So then you got to work a little harder to get back up to good. That's where I'm at right now. I'm on the climb back up out of the dredges that I've dragged myself into. So hopefully that's going to turn around. I also actually picked up something that I hope, I don't know if it will, but I hope it'll become one of those things that when I'm able to get sponsored, and thanks to you guys and sharing the podcast, it may actually happen. Once I'm able to get sponsored, I would like to have them sponsored if I can, you know, test their product out first. So they're going to get a free tab from me just because I'm going to be trying it out over the next week to see how it works. It's a little company called Ryze, R-Y-Z-E. I guess it's kind of a play on the idea of rhizomes. This is a mushroom-based coffee. I know people kind of turn their nose up at that, but I mean, people drink coffee, and coffee is ostensibly just gross just by itself. It's not a great tasting beverage. And so like I was curious about it because I read about some of the medicinal benefits of the mushrooms that go into it. Partly for digestion, for energy throughout the day, like clean energy that's not powered off of just sugar and caffeine. Clearness of focus, a lot of things that were like kind of sounding pretty good. The intestinal health, you know, and the gut health is the biggest thing for me. Again, somebody with like gluten and lactose issues, it doesn't matter. If you eat something wrong, your stomach just kind of shuts down and nothing gets digested and it's just horrible. And then you're not getting any nutrition, so you feel tired. But then what you're getting is just a bunch of cold carbs and fats and stuff like that and sugars just sitting on your stomach. So you get fat. And I'm like, I'm heavier than I've ever been. It feels awful. It looks worse. And I just want to lose some weight and feel some energy again. So I think this combined with like going out on a regular bike ride, doing some calisthenics and stuff around the house or whatever it is to kind of get my ass off my shoulders will probably be a little bit more helpful than it has been in the past. And this coffee is just going to be kind of like a kickstart for it. I don't think it's going to be the solution, but if it turns out to be more helpful than not, you'll be hearing about it. So just keep it in mind. I will drop the webpage to them in the show notes just so you guys can give them a peek in case you're curious. Maybe you order some of it and we try together along the next couple of weeks or whatever. I'm going to start mine tomorrow. Well, when you hear this, it'll be Juneteenth. So happy Juneteenth to everyone. So I'll be starting mine on Juneteenth and then I'll just keep running it for at least the first bag is gone and then see how that treats me and see what the second bag brings. Just interesting little things that kind of popped up along the way. Another little note about the weekend, I had the pleasure and privilege of going to check out a burlesque show again called Tolkien It Off. That was presented at Stumpy's Axe House here in Jacksonville, Florida, and it was an absolute delight. All the performances were amazing. The performers were incredible. Obviously, you're going there to see a show, right? And consummate performers all. Production was top notch. And I got to say this right here too, as impressed as I was and as blown away as I was with all the performances I saw that night, one of the stars for me was actually the fine folks over at Stumpy's. You guys may remember I was supposed to go to a show a couple months ago, but then, you know, due to medical emergencies, I wasn't able to attend. They were cool enough to push my ticket forward to this show, which was awesome because I was really excited to see this one too. And since it was a VIP ticket, I was going to be there, you know, a table or a couch, you know, bottle of wine, that kind of thing. And I could invite up to like three friends. Initially, it was just going to be myself and my wife. But then, you know, I was like, yeah, it's coming close to Father's Day. Let me bring one of my homies who's also a dad. Go on the town, check out a show, and then, you know, enjoy some hospitality. Told him to get there at 7:30, and we did, only to find out that the tickets I'd initially wanted were at 7:30 because my wife doesn't like to be out very long or very late. And these tickets were for 10 o'clock. So instead of just sending us packing, the folks at Stumpy's were good enough to, because of this weird kerfuffle, just, hey, you can stick around and watch the show. Obviously, you're going to have some drinks while you're here. We appreciate your business, you know, but we definitely want to make sure you have a good experience. So watch the first show, stick around for the second. We'll make sure you have your VIP experience that we had promised. And they did, and they were awesome about it. So big shout out to the folks over at Stumpy's. Fine establishment, wonderful. No matter how good you think the establishment is, the people are even better. And again, kudos to everyone that was a part of this particular production. This is Tolkien It Off, a burlesque tribute to the works of J.R.R. Tolkien. And it was fitting because it was the 70th anniversary of the Lord of the Rings books. So that's pretty awesome. And it just kind of coincided right along with this. I know they planned it that way, but it was just really cool that I was able to see this show. I mean, it's been going on for years and I'd only just heard of it. So it was a fantastic opportunity to check it out. I'm going to try to find as many of the performers as I can and link them to their personal pages or whatever, or their, not their personal, but their professional pages, so you can go and check out their artwork anytime you're able to. Performances for the evening were provided by Kissa Von Adams, Ruby Tesla, Frankie Markstone, Jenny Castle, Phoenix Midnight, and Candy Muldoon, and was hosted by the amazing and incredibly witty Alistair Graves. It's absolutely a delightful show. I would, if you ever have a chance to see any of them performing anywhere near you, I highly recommend that you do so. And again, Stumpy's Axe House, quality place, even better people. Gotta love it. Can't wait to go back again. Let's dig into some of the news and stuff of the week. Just some, I mean, you guys know where I stand pretty much. If you've known me for any amount of time at all, or if you've paid any attention to the last, you know, 30 plus episodes of the podcast, I'm certainly not an ultra conservative. And I think that, like most people, I'm a little bit more to the center or left of center because I have some conservative beliefs. But mostly, I think the most conservative thing about me would probably be financial policy. But I just, I don't like what I see from the Republican Party. I'm not super blown away either by the Democratic Party. And I don't really want to ascribe myself to any one of the dozens of other fringe parties just because, one, I don't feel like any one of those completely encapsulates my own personal and political ideologies. And I also think that slapping a label on what we're doing here, it kind of cheapens the process. I mean, unfortunately, I don't think many people realize that, like, the real truth is our founding fathers didn't necessarily want us to have a two-party system. They kind of left one behind in Britain, and they didn't want it here, and we went right back to it anyway. So good on us for never breaking the cycle. I mean, if nothing, we're tenacious as hell as Americans. But I like exposing some of the weird hypocrisies that line up, you know, whenever you see them. And I don't care who's in the line of fire. You can all catch a stray every now and again, right? Like, I'm not immune to it either. I've made mistakes over the years. But there's one thing between making a mistake and another thing when you're just straight out lying. So one of the things that we noticed recently, and you guys have heard about it, I'm sure, Hunter Biden, the son of our current president, Joseph Biden, has been convicted in his felony gun charge case and faces up to 25 years in prison. Obviously, the family's going to appeal, and he's going to try to make sure that he doesn't do as much of that jail time as possible, you know, I mean, or he does as little of that jail time as possible, however you best want to word that. But it's really been interesting to listen to how, like, the Republican right wants to, especially the far right Republicans and the MAGA Republicans in particular, want to try to spin this as, hey, this is just a diversionary tactic. Don't forget, it's Joe Biden's Department of Justice. And this is their way of, like, he's the sacrificial lamb so that they can say, oh, look, we convicted Trump of 34 felony accounts, but we also got Hunter. We did this. You know what I mean? Hey, look at us. It's fair and balanced. Ooh. And they're putting on this big smoke show. It's like, yeah, Trump did that shit. Hunter did that shit. If Hunter had 34 counts of felony gun charges, they'd have booked him for 34 counts of felony drug charges. That didn't happen. Drug and gun charges. Yeah, that didn't happen. So I don't know what we're talking about here. There's no equivalency here. And I know that you're not going to let your boy just take the rock. You know what I mean? You're going to want him to try to do everything he can to appeal it. So why shouldn't Hunter and his family do the same thing? It's just the, like I said, the what is the word that I heard recently was mental gymnastics. I mean, I hadn't used that phrase in a very long time, but somebody reminded me that I used to say it. And it's like, yeah, the mental gymnastics that you have to conduct to leap across that giant, you know, gap in logic it's astounding. And it's weird that people will continue to prop Trump up and, you know, try to paint him as some kind of paragon of morality and truth and honesty and power. He's a liar and a charlatan, and we all know it, I think. And I think that even the people who are avid Trump supporters to this day, there might be obviously the handful who totally drank the Kool-Aid and they're waiting to all fall down in the pasture, right? But there's got to be some folks who just stuck with it just because they have made it their identity for so long that now they don't know how to shake loose. But I just find that also kind of, you know, I want to say I find it staggering, but nah, because people stay in relationships for the same reasons. People stay in friendships and jobs and marriages and even like dealing with family members that are just poisonous, you know, just cancerous to their spirit and their well-being. People stay in those relationships forever just for the sake of appearances and whatnot. So it's really not that perplexing or that mystifying to me. But it is disturbing to watch. One of the funnier things was that happened over the last week is Trump lying about like all the attention he's trying to push towards the black community to try to inspire black voters. So he conducts this rally at a black church, and it's, you know, historically has been a black congregation. And while there's like a peppering, and I don't say that to be funny, but a peppering of black folks in there, the majority of the congregation was pretty much like MAGA bus in folks or, you know, local MAGA folks who came in. So it was very, very white audience. But it's, you know, obviously you put it on Truth Social or you get it from Fox News or some other news agency. They're going to try to cut to the little sliver of section where they have Trump kind of clustered around by a couple of black folks. And they're going to show that one angle, but they're not going to show the predominantly white congregation. The black congregants to the church didn't even want to go. They're like, we're not going to this. This isn't our guy. This is not who we support. So they just didn't show up, obviously, because they don't fuck with Trump like that. But, you know, he's got to try to say, you know, the blacks, they love me. I'm big in the black community. You're a big joke in the black community. I don't think we forgot about them brothers in New York. And then after that, this is the funnier thing. After that whole debacle and a dog and pony show that he put on to try to be like, hey, I like black people and they like me. Then he goes cross town to go and hang out at a rally with Charlie Kirk. And if you don't know who Charlie Kirk is, good for you. But also, you should get to know a little bit about him because he's dangerous. He's in the same ways that Trump is like a dangerous liar and a manipulator and a fraud and a charlatan. This guy is too, but he's smart and he's young. So that means he could go the distance. But yeah, this is a guy who actually, he runs Turning Point USA. He's the founder. He's in his like 20s. I think he's 28 or 29. But he's one of these guys who uses racism and racial issues to kind of stoke the fires of discord amongst everybody, right? There's actually a great quote here in this article I pulled up from AP News from Nakima Levy Armstrong, who's a Minneapolis civil rights lawyer and activist. And she says, quote, "He's taking the discontent that some people may be experiencing and combining it with racial animus, which is a dangerous recipe in a country that is still in the midst of a racial turmoil," end quote. Yeah, this dude just tried to find any kind of hot button racial issue and then poke it and stoke it until it turns all of the other people who are slavering over his obviously false and dog whistled narratives to be like, yeah, we're losing everything. We're losing the country. Who the fuck is winning then? You know what I mean? Like, it's just ridiculous to see that, because it's not the narrative actually doesn't hold if you start looking at facts and data and documentation. Everybody's getting screwed, dude. Like, if you think just because you're, Joe Sixpack, and you put your pants on one leg at a time, pulled yourself up by your bootstraps, so to speak, or so you think, you think that that somehow qualifies you to that piece of the American pie? It don't. It don't. The 1% are eating it and they're barely dropping the crumbs. You know, those fuckers are licking the plate clean. And meanwhile, guys like Charlie Kirk would have us fighting for scraps amongst ourselves over the lines of racial division. And it's not to say that there aren't definitely racist systems and racist procedures and policies that are enacted in the United States and still continue to function to this day, from all levels of our government and our society, from the top all the way down to the bottom. But there's ways that we can overcome it if we don't feed into these kind of troll-ass messages, but you have to be willing to do a due diligence on your own. I'm not trying to tell you just blanket do your research, but just take a look. You don't have to research shit if you open your eyes. Anybody who would watch that clip of Trump would know by looking at the audience. There weren't any black people in there, really. He was lying the whole time. Trying to reach black voters while you're talking to a group of white ones, the center doesn't hold, man. It's like trying to find a pork chop at a vegan grocery store. Fuck is you doing? And I think that that's one of the things that people don't want to do. Like I said earlier, they've kind of made this bad decision for long enough that they feel like they're kind of stuck to it and they're married to it, but you're not. There's a thing called divorce for a reason. In case you fucked around and found out, hey, this isn't for me, you can back out, dude. You can easily back out. You know what I mean? There's provisions for that. That's not saying that everything's going to be sunshine and rainbows once you do, but at least you've made a decision. You made some kind of, common sense decision based on facts and hopefully a shred of human decency to be like, I don't want to support this anymore. That's not me saying that Joe Biden is the clear-cut choice. He just happens to be the only choice that's available at the moment, which is stupid as hell, too. I think that that's a huge failure of leadership for the Democratic National Convention. I've said that for a long time. I don't believe that either of these political parties has anybody's real interest at heart. It's just serving their own agendas. But at least they're not actively trying to, take away women's rights, dehumanize entire sections of our population, criminalize plant that has basically just been growing around free since the creation of the planet. Should we go on? Villainize entire countries based on their ethnic population, side with the megalomaniac dictator who's actively seeking a campaign of genocide against another people. And you can point at whichever dictator you want to with that one. I'm not going to draw you a picture on that one. But yeah, it's just weird to watch people just keep rolling up to suckle from that teat. And it's just, you gotta look at it at one point and stop, dude. You got to stop. You know what I mean? You have to, at some point, the goggles have to come off. Hopefully sooner than later. But anyway, the false equivalency there is always hilarious to me. One other thing that's not hilarious, though, oh my God. And I'm sure that if you live anywhere in the continental United States, you've at least heard about it from somebody, a friend or family member, or you maybe you've lived through it already. But this ridiculous heat wave that's kind of like slapped North America has been equal parts hilarious and horrible, because you're looking at it and you're like, yeah, it's funny that a place that like, you know, Minnesota would have like an 89 degree day, you know, but it's also terrible when you get to a place like Florida where it's like it's too early for it to be 103 degrees outside. And then you go further south Florida and the place is practically underwater because of all the storms and stuff that have been slamming the south of Florida. I honestly think that maybe the heat and the rain is, you know, yeah, the promise of the Bible is that God would never destroy the planet by flood. And he's like, I don't think Florida counts as the whole planet, though. So if I wiped this place out, I didn't do the whole thing. I just did this one spot. And I think he's kind of over Florida, Texas, Louisiana. He's over a lot of the South. He's like, that's not the world. I said I would never destroy the world. I don't have anything about destroying the Southeast, you know, the southern portions of the United States of America. So maybe we're just reaping what we've sown as a nation. Who knows? All I know is it's hella hot and you guys need to be careful when you go outside. And you got to have some heat etiquette too, man. There's certain things that you have to do. If you live in a place where the temperature ever escalates above like 75 degrees, you got to do certain things because other people have to be around you. The first thing you have to do, shower daily. I don't care how you do it. I don't care where you do it. As long as it's not in front of, you know, kids or whatever, you're not in public. Go to a, you know, go to a gym. Go to your local Y. Ask a friend. You know what I mean? Run through a sprinkler a couple of times, something. But you got to wash yourself. Body odor is not cute, dude. I don't care what you say. Oh, there's natural pheromones in there. Yeah, keep that shit to yourself, dude. There's a time and a place for that. And behind you in line in the grocery store is not the time I should be able to smell all your pheromones floating over my roast beef. It's just foul. It's vulgar, man. Go wash your ass. Put on some deodorant. Deodorant, man. Deodorant. If you need the aluminum, get the aluminum. You might not remember shit, but everybody else will remember you as the dude who didn't stink all the time. You know what I mean? Dude, lady, whoever you are, just wear deodorant. Wash your ass. Wear clean clothes. I know so many people who will, during the summer, just throw the same shit back on. Well, I was just sitting around the house. No, fool. If you are sitting around in the house, you're still sweating. You are, whether you're moving around doing jumping jacks or just sitting on the couch, your body is still producing sweat and oils and dead skin cells and hair follicles and all kinds of shit is falling off you into your clothes. Change into clean clothes. Wash your ass. Wear deodorant. Brush your teeth. Last thing I need when it's 95 degrees outside is to talk to you and your breath is hotter than the sun. Please brush your teeth. Carry some mints, something. And the other thing, just fucking go. Please, for the love of all that's holy, just fucking go. It's hot. I get it. Nobody wants to be sitting out in the heat baking, you know what I mean? If you're not at a barbecue or in the water, you know what I mean? Or camping. You don't go outside by choice when it's 105 degrees outside. Anytime it's over 85 degrees and you're outside by choice, it's either recreational or this is the job that you've selected. You're not just going out because you really want to be outside. You know? So, like, please put one foot in front of the other a little bit faster. Press the gas pedal just a little bit more. Put your phone down. Stop looking at that when you're at the stoplight. Get the hell out of the way. I think that's one of the things that might be, again, I've mentioned this before. I think it might be one of the things why people think Northerners are mean or whatever. We're not. No, we're not mean. I would basically identify as a Midwesterner. I was born in Kansas and I've lived a lot of my life, you know, in this middle section of the United States between, you know, Kansas, Illinois, you know, North Carolina, Alabama, Florida. I mean, it stayed like mostly center, but I think that the real problem is that it can be so hot and so cold that the last thing you need is somebody okie-doking in their way through life when you're trying to get something done. Get the fuck out of the way. If you got no place else to be, then be someplace else. Yeah, I don't have any particular place to go. Yeah, well, be particularly not here because this is annoying as shit. It's one of the things that drives me crazy. And I've seen it happen a lot, whether it's just somebody just puttering around, like I said, playing around on their phone when they're supposed to be pressing the gas pedal to get out of the way at the light. Or if it's two soccer moms clogging up one aisle because they have to park their carts side by side in the middle of the aisle. Because otherwise, how else can they gossip about what they're doing when they're not going to their PTA meetings and book clubs and shit? Fucking move. You know what I mean? Park behind one another. I don't care if you sit on one side of the aisle and talk all day long. I can reach in between your carts. I can say, excuse me, please, I need that. I can go right past you and be like, screw it. I don't need that today. I'll get it another day. Whatever. Just get out of the fucking way. I've never understood that. Just this complete lack of just awareness. Not noticing that people are trying to do shit around you. Like you're the only thing on the planet that exists. Come on, dog. Get over yourself. I mean, and at my age, it shouldn't be as mystifying as it is, but it still is. Every time I see it, it's just as confusing as the first time. And I go, like, no one taught you any better? You have no idea that the world is moving on around you. You're just the main character in everybody's story, huh? That's super annoying. You know, here's another thing, too. If you see somebody that's kind of struggling a little bit, just give them a helping hand. Especially if you got it in you, you know what I mean? There's really nothing, it's not that to be anything huge. But, you know, especially for our seniors, or folks with kids and whatnot, they're obviously struggling to try to take care of all the little rapscallions when they're getting in and out of the car. The other day, a lady was trying to get her stuff together and, you know, she's wrangling the kids. She's finished emptying her cart and I was walking out of the car, get ready to head inside. I go, you know, I could take the cart for you. If you don't mind, I could use it. You know what I mean? Paint it that way if you want to. She's like, oh, thanks. I really appreciate it. I'm like, yeah, no worries. I didn't need a cart. I was getting like three things. If I wanted to, I could have put them in my pockets. But it was just the principle of the thing. I could tell she was struggling. I could tell she's having a rough time. You know, let's take the cart. Do a little something to help somebody out. Maybe that's all the kindness she gets during the day. You know what I mean? Maybe that's all the kindness anybody would get during the day is just a little tiny helping hand. There's nothing wrong with doing that. I'm not saying you have to be walking around all day just handing, you know, favors out to people, but at least make a tiny effort when you get out the house. And here's another thing. If you're going to go out the house, go do something like, go do something that isn't going to require people to die. You know what I mean? Like, I have so many friends that like want to go, hey, you know what I want? What I'd really like to do is I want to go camping. I'm like, where? And like, you better be saying someplace where there's a lot of water. You know what I mean? I don't mind camping either. But I tell you one thing I absolutely hate is hot water camping. You know, hot weather camping. When you're just going outside just to be outside, it's 85 degrees and you're in a tent. I'd be late for that. I don't like the heat in the first place. The last thing I'm going to do is willingly subject myself to sleeping in a tent with two or three other people, funky and sweaty. There's one of the places people like to go is this place called Jenny Springs because the water's like super clear and all this jazz. It looks wonderful. I've seen the water moccasins that show up at Jenny Springs. I've seen that there's like the odd gator or two that pops in over there. Nah, bro, miss me with that one. We're going to go camping. We need to be going camping in your backyard and you better have a pool. Like either that or it has to be below 70 degrees at night. I don't need to be cold weather camping if you don't want to. I don't mind doing a, you know, cold weather winter camp. I've done it before. I actually really like it. Because you get bundled up, you get a fire going, you cook in, you know, do a little hike. The sun comes up and it's about 45 degrees. You're feeling good, but you're not super sweaty, but you're still kind of cooled off as you walk and do stuff. It's a great way to get outdoors. It sounds crazy, but I mean, you can put on more clothes. I was telling a friend of mine this the other day. You can always put on more clothes, but there's only so naked you can get before it becomes a problem or a felony. So just put on the extra gear and just call it a day. But yeah, if you're gonna do outdoor stuff, make sure that people can be comfortable. I mean, I'm gonna be doing whatever I need to do personally as far as physical fitness is concerned, but that's not for pleasure. That's because I don't wanna die of a heart attack or, clogged arteries or something like that. I also wanna be able to put my suit back on again and feel comfortable in it, you know? I don't wanna have to buy brand new clothes just because I keep blowing out the seams. But I'm allowed to make that decision for myself to sweat and to be horrible and miserable outside for my physical fitness. But if you're inviting me to a recreational activity, it had better be either in and or near water and or indoors. This is the summer in Florida. I'm not doing anything else. I'm not trying to do anything else. At a barbecue, cool. I could do that for about like 20, 30 minutes, but you better have a waiting pool or an inside for us to be at. Otherwise, I'll be at home. Just want to make that 100% clear right now. Yeah. What are some things that really bug you about summer? Because I know a lot of people love summer. Oh, I love the summer. I just love it. Yeah, that's cool. Let's be honest. There's people who love summer and there's people who hate summer. And I'm one of those people who actually hates summer. Every other season is perfectly fine by me. Summer can kiss all of my ass. But if you're like me and you hate summer, what are some of the things, what are some of the things that you don't like about summer? What you could do is you can hit me up at Patreon. I'm going to remind you again, you can go to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios, sign up for free to follow, totally free. And if you like what you hear there, you can support this podcast for just $3 a month. And you'll get like a free bonus episode. And I just need your questions, your comments, whatever. So let's start with that. Go over to patreon.com/wanderingonestudios and leave me a message and let me know what are things that you like or hate about summer. Right as we're going into the summer months, this is a good way to kind of get the conversation going, get some ideas flowing. If you got anything else you want to drop off over there, please feel free to do so as well. Yeah. And now for the spoilerific portion of the podcast, I want you guys to know that I was going to talk about this one way or another, decided to save the best for last. So if you didn't want to hear it, it's at the end of the episode and you're good to go. So I'm making a note of the markation now so that people know exactly when to stop listening and when to start listening again. All right. Here we go. We are going to talk about Disney's The Acolyte, the new Star Wars series that's out now on Disney Plus. At the time of this recording, three episodes are currently available for you to watch on Disney Plus, and I'm going to recommend that you don't. Now, some of you might be surprised by that because if you know me well or know me at all, you know that I'm a huge fan of Star Wars. I basically grew up on the stuff. I cut my teeth on Star Wars from the time I was very, very young. And it's been a huge part of my life, my family interactions and whatnot over the years. Even so much so that we had like a slightly Star Wars themed wedding. My wife and I got married. Star Wars has been ingrained in who I am and how I am as long as I can remember. And I'll be honest with you. I don't really see a lot of the stuff that people are barking about in social media. I try to avoid a lot of that kind of stuff when it comes to a show that I'm interested in. But lately, I've been seeing some of the complaints that people have about this new series. And some of them I track with, some of them I don't. One thing I don't really track with, and I heard this from more than a few people over the last couple of weeks, last week or so, I mean. Was that there's too much of a political agenda being pushed by, Star Wars. Now, I want to start right here by saying, one, what you mean to say is, and I'll tell you what this is in reference to, remember, this is a spoiler section. You're talking about the fact that there are two women that are in love and have children together, and you're painting that as a political issue. It's not. That's a societal issue, because our society has gays, lesbians, bisexuals, transgender people, non-binary, all that stuff. And that is not a political statement. That is a fact of the That is a fact of existence. That's a social thing. So first of all, get your nomenclature right. Pull your head out of your ass and stop trying to conflate politics with social issues. They're two different things. Secondly, science fiction has always been a way for writers and creators to kind of create allegories for us to explore political, social, economic, and governmental issues, you know what I mean? Societal issues, that all that stuff gets kind of fed through this science fiction filter as a way for us to, in an Aesop's Fables kind of way, work it out on our own, see how things can be overblown when they go so far to one side or so far to the other, or when not enough attention is being paid to a certain section of our society. Science fiction has been a huge bastion of that. It's one of the primary forms of storytelling that actually focuses on those very sensitive hot button issues. And if you can't have that in Star Wars, you don't need it. You don't deserve it anywhere else. And I honestly think that, you know, for people who are upset, you know, oh, there's, why are there so many brown people in the show? Well, because, you know, there's brown people in our lives. Deal with it. Why the hot high of the lesbians? Well, because there's lesbians on the planet. Fucking deal with it. You know, that's not my agenda at all. I don't give a damn about any of that stuff. And I've been pointing people to a recent discovery of mine. Carl Sagan, you know, a philosopher and astronomer, was talking about how Star Wars got a lot of it wrong. He's like, in a galaxy far, far away, you would have to consider that the very distinct and unique set of circumstances that caused our planet to exist the way that it exists, and for human and other types of life to exist in the way that it exists here, would be like a 1 in a billion shot for it to be a 1-to-1 correlation somewhere else, and then for multiple types of planets to exist. And one of the things he pointed out was primarily white people. That's what Star Wars has been forever. He's like, so now that Star Wars is changing and evolving and starting to reflect a more global look and feel, people are upset. Well, you've had the status quo for so long, but strictly technically speaking, this shouldn't even be possible, right? If you're going to have the Force, there should be all kinds of weird and wild, bizarre creatures, and they should make up the majority of the show. Human beings or humanoids should make up maybe like 10% of the show. So just based on like scientific data, the show's already wacky and weird and wrong for all those reasons, right? So if we're going to talk about believability, let's start there. But really, when we dig into the show, the Acolyte, the hardest thing for me to accept was that somebody thought that this was a good idea. The writing is incredibly patchy, and it hits no real good stride at all. Now, if you watch the trailer for The Acolyte, it seems like it's being billed as kind of like a dark, or at least a more gritty tale of Jedi versus Sith, or, you know, maybe like of, again, like it says, an acolyte, a singular person who becomes the main focus of the story. All that shit is wrong. This story goes from being like a pseudo-romance to being at sometimes a little jab at comedy, which seems to mostly fall flat, to high drama for the sake of God knows what. I think it's part show tune in there too. If you're watching it, you'll get what I mean. It's just all over the place. None of it really seems cohesive. There are weird devices in the story that don't seem to work. You have, there's certain scenes and instances in the show that are so like jarringly weird. You're like, why is that? Why are they doing that? Like I said, we're going into spoiler territory. The main character, or the character that this is supposed to be focusing on, has a twin sister. Ooh, it's the evil twin thing, right? They look exactly the same, but they haven't seen each other for over a decade, at least. And when I say they look exactly the same, I don't mean in the way that you think that identical twins look the same. You know, same facial features, color, you know, skin color, eye color. No, they have the exact same fucking hairstyle. You telling me you've been separated by decades and galaxies and you still cut your hair the same as your twin? Word? You never tried a fade? Never tried like a bouffant? Never tried, you know, like the hot curlers? Nothing? This is what you got the whole time. Okay. Yeah, I don't buy that shit. It was one very glaring inconsistency that was like, how would they even begin? Oh, well, they have a bond. They don't even experience their connection until like, you know, the lazy storytelling near the end of the first episode. They have no idea about each other, really. Each of them thought the other one was dead. So if they were so fucking connected that their hair looked the same, where did that connection come from? How come that hasn't been explored? They just, all of a sudden, they just like, oh, huh? You're here? No. Hell no. Then there's weird stuff throughout the show, too. Like, turns of phrase that just don't work. Jokes that don't work. There's one scene in particular where one of the main characters is battling another Jedi, and a third Jedi is watching the conflict with binoculars. Doesn't seem that glaringly weird, right? Until you consider the fact that he's on the second floor balcony. They're literally 30 feet away from him. You know what I mean? If he farted too hard, he'd go over the balcony and be joining them. But he's watching with binoculars. I'm like, what the fuck is that? Why is he doing that? Like, is he trying to see in somebody's ear or up somebody's nose while he's standing there? What does he have binocs for? It made no sense. And there were weird little things like that that just took you right out of the experience. And hopefully I've saved the best for last, for me at least. One of the best things, and by best I mean one of the worst, is that you find one of the most noticeable and probably one of the most impactful women in science fiction in the last two decades in Carrie Ann Moss. For anybody who's been off planet or living under a rock or in the deep woods of the Amazon for the last 20 something years, Carrie Ann Moss plays the character Trinity in the Matrix films. Super recognizable, used to be an international model, and still looks great, you know, but as also an action movie star. You find one of the most billable, bankable, recognizable faces in action and science fiction, and you kill her off 10 minutes into the show. Only to lazily bring her back in a flashback sequence two episodes later. What? Why even introduce her then? It seems like this whole show could have been done a whole lot more effectively if they had maybe started at the beginning of the story instead of starting in the middle. Because the flashback sequences also feel like, why did we have to do that? We didn't have to do any of that. In fact, instead of trying to build this thing as like some super dark, crazy kind of thing, you could have started with this. You could have started with the moment that creates all the tension. Let it run through the first season. Even if you ran it for only 8 episodes, you could have run that through the first 3 or 4 episodes and then slowly worked in, oh, and guess what? This is who the Acolyte is at the end. Woo! Or you watch them slowly becoming the Acolyte. But what does that mean? What does that mean for our story? Does it mean that one's going to be good and one's going to be evil? Does it mean that, you know, they're going to have one climactic battle for it all? Are we going to have, like, maybe there'll be two? Maybe they're, like, Sith twins? What if one of them is so, you know, strong in the Force that they're actually able to tutor the other one? Now you have two badass twin Jedi who have a psychic connection through the Force? There's opportunities that you had there, but you wasted it by telling this story where you kill off one of the coolest characters in science fiction, or one of the coolest actresses in science fiction, instantaneously, pretty much. And in a bonk-ass way, too. Just goes out like a complete, like, very Darth Maul-esque. Like, it was that level of just, oh, come on, really? That's what happened? Yeah, it just, none of that worked for me. And the more I watched it, I'll be honest with you, I was trying to keep awake through the first episode. I fell asleep. I fell asleep all the way through episodes 2 and 3. Each of the episodes is about 50 minutes. It took me about 3.5 hours to watch the last two episodes because I kept falling asleep. That's how incredibly boring and plodding. That's the other thing. The pace of the story. At certain points, it's just mainly exposition, right? They're talking at one another to tell you the story instead of feeding you the story in a more organic manner. Do you remember so-and-so who went to school with me and we used to play together all the time? Guess how he's bad and he's coming to get us. All right, let's go. Like, what is this? Seriously, like, where does this storytelling come from? If you can even call it that. It was just so flat and dry and boring. It was like I couldn't watch any more of it. And I've rambled on long enough about it, but I just had so much to say because it was really disappointing. As someone who absolutely has adored Star Wars their entire lives, I was heartbroken to watch this show. And I don't want to see where it ends. I'm actually very well over it. So, buyer beware, if you watch The Acolyte on Disney Plus, you might end up hating it as much as I have. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope that I am, but just in case, you've been warned. And with that, I think we're safe enough to open it back up to the rest of the class. What do you say? All right. So that was my incredibly spoiler-filled review of The Acolyte on Disney Plus. If you heard it, you already know what it is. If you were one of the people who read the liner notes and fast-forwarded through it, good for you and enjoy. Yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode of the Wandering One podcast. Again, thank you all so much for all of your support. Thank you for your patience and understanding. I'm trying to get things a little bit more solidified here, get my sleep schedule back together, get all my other ducks in a row so I can get back to making content on a more regular basis, as well as doing the bonus episodes. So please, while you're listening to this podcast, do me a favor and navigate on over to patreon.com/WanderingOneStudios. The links are in the description. Give me a follow over there. Send me a message over there on Patreon. Let me know. One of the questions that I asked during the stream is, what do you love or hate about summer? Hit me with those. If you've got any comments or other feedback, please write in and let me know. I'd love to hear from you guys, and I'd love to be able to build those episodes like they're supposed to be, out of your content, your questions, your comments. Hit me up with them. Let me know. And if you want some advice on some stuff, I can steer you right or steer you wrong. Let me know. And then again, check me out over on Twitch. I'm trying to get up on there again about 3 to 4 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. So hopefully you catch me there between 3 and 4 p.m. Eastern Standard, playing role-playing games, shooting games, doing a lot of the new Destiny 2 content for the Final Shape, and also playing through Baldur's Gate 3, Paper Mario, and I'm going to be revisiting the Gears of War series because there's a new Gears of War on the way, and I didn't even get to talk about the Summer Game Fest, so I may have to do an episode just about that later on. But I'm super excited for all that stuff. Please visit me over there on Twitch, or you can check me out on Patreon, or just keep coming back here, whatever suits you, however you want to do it. Yeah, in the meantime, remember to drink water, wear your sunscreen, avoid staying out in the sun for extended hours if at all possible. Make sure you take plenty of breaks. Be good or be good at it, and definitely be good to each other because there's a lot of crap out there in the world. Why don't we help each other out? You guys be great, and I'll see you a little further on down the road. Peace.